It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we are going to look ahead to this Colts game as we have several times throughout the show today. We will, in the 9 o'clock hour, get you ready, put our finishing touches on our coverage for the game. And obviously, you got In the Loop coming up next. You got the fellas with the drive. They'll be out at Taquerias Arandas in the Heights today. From 2 to 6.
Your pronunciation is getting so good with that, Sean.
It's reps, man. It's just
by my gringo standards. Yeah. I don't care what any actual Spanish speakers say.
Yeah,
I'm impressed with the pronunciation.
I just want, if I'm getting approval from you, that's what I'm looking for, man. Screw Lopez.
Well, yeah, has Lopez critiqued your?
He's giving me positive feedback on it. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's always, you know what you can always revert to is be like, well, I speak with more of a Puerto Rican accent or something. There's a, you know, people from like Baja, Mexico, right, versus one of the Caribbean countries. Like there's somewhere where your pronunciation is dead on.
Okay. Yeah, Connecticut. That's where, yeah. I have the Connecticut Spanish dialect, yes.
I still try Mexican restaurants in every city I go to, and I don't know why. I'm perpetually disappointed.
Yeah.
And yet, maybe that's why, because I want to like reaffirm the preeminence of Tex-Mex, actual Tex-Mex.
We, as a rule, do not. We only go to Mexican restaurants in Texas. Amen. When we're on our road trips, once we hit the Texas border, any other state, nope, it ain't the same.
I think I've just got such a taste for it that I'm like, well, I'm going to try this place. Look at how nice their sign is. This looks authentic.
Yeah, maybe. I think I got...
Oh, I went to high school with this kid.
Yeah.
This kid doesn't know how to cook.
No. It's a standing rule. Texas only. Let's get to Bobby Slowick. There are a few issues that we've got with this Texans offense. Bobby Slowick, we got big problems with you. Not big problems. Hopefully Bobby addresses them. I thought he did a good job talking to the media yesterday. Let's start with the biggest thing, because this is... The concern is not only the offense not moving the football, but C.J. Stroud getting maimed in the process. Here is Bobby Slowick on the offense's protection issues.
For me, that starts with me. I'm not doing something right. I'm not coaching something right. I'm not saying things in a way that needs to be interpreted the way it needs to be interpreted. Because honestly, the things that we missed in the game are things that D'Amico's been giving us day one in training camp. So it's stuff that I know they've seen and they've done and they've knocked out before. I mean, obviously, you're on the road, you're in Lambeau, communication's going to be hard, you got to strain in that regard, but we've been working on that part of it for 4 weeks. Like, we've been working on what it's like on a road game, even when we have a home game. We've been straining on silent, we've been going on silent cadence even on weeks like this. So, I mean, that's been an emphasis for us. You see it in the pre-snap, now we got to see it in the post-snap, and I got to find a way to get that out of our game.
Confidence level, Seth, that they get this thing fixed for Sunday.
My confidence level is at a 6.5 out of 10.
Okay.
I think there were some glaringly bad mental errors in that game that those guys are going to feel genuinely bad about. Mm-hmm. I think that as much as we've kind of bashed the offensive line for far too long this week, and yet I feel compelled to do it every time I turn my microphone on. But it's that there's some stuff that just needs to be cleaned up. And I was glad the way Bobby Slowick presented it was exactly the way I feel it should be. He wasn't just saying, it's on me, like almost passive-aggressively the way coaches do, and then not provide any detail. The fact of the matter is, none of those guys up there are idiots, the offensive linemen. They're like reasonably intelligent by offensive linemen standards in the NFL. But they're making dumb errors. And sometimes when that happens, I usually go back to, all right, that's ultimately a coaching issue, because you've got reasonably intelligent guys making stupid errors. Then they either don't understand what they're supposed to be doing in the moment, or their instructions aren't clear enough, or they've got too much else going on and trying to adjust. So it comes down to, how are you teaching it? Why are the problems being made? And how do we prepare better for this next week? I think Bobby Slowick understands that ultimately that's on him, that's on Chris Strausser, that's on the running backs and wide receiver coaches, because it's not just the offensive line, it's the tight ends and the running backs as well. I think it's probably been a lot of, just as it was with the pre-snap stuff, it's a lot of back to basics. I think in some of sorting out the blitz and everything, last week was a really good example where with a loss, they can't skate by it. You know, you can't whistle past the graveyard the way you have versus the Patriots or whomever else. You can even make excuses against the Vikings because they're so freakishly good at the deception part of it. The Packers are good at it, but not like the Vikings. You guys just were bad against the Packers. So, yeah, I think it gets cleaned up, and it's a good week to do it because the Colts are not nearly the defense that either the Vikings or the Packers were.
I wonder what – because you're right. We have hammered the offensive line this week. I don't feel bad about it at all. I think they deserve it based on that game and based on the sort of the splotchiness of this season for them and the inconsistency of this season. It's a team with Super Bowl aspirations. This is not a Super Bowl level offensive line. So the criticism, I think, is deserved. I do wonder if Brandon McManus duck hooks that kick at the end of the game and they're 6-1, would we have been hammering it? Because it's just as big a problem, right? Like that field goal has nothing to do. That field goal attempt has nothing to do with how poorly or well the offensive line played, you know?
Right. No. If the Texans had won that game, we would be having the same conversation we've had after multiple Texans victories, which is, all right, you know, do not ignore in victory what you would address in defeat.
Yeah.
Because there's some things offensively that need to be cleaned up. The one thing that that I keep reminding myself is that the Texans are 14th in scoring offense right now. The Chiefs are 13th. You know, like it's not an indication that these guys on the quarterback's not as good as we thought he was, this, that, or the other. There's just, yes, there are some talent deficiencies, especially with I would say with Nico Collins out, but you still have a pretty good, damn good top two wide receivers.
Yes.
They've just got to clean some stuff up. Yeah. And a listener early this week asked, "Hey Seth, how reasonable is it to expect that a position group improves over the course of a season?" I can tell you from personal experience, and the reason I talk about back to basics is that I've been on defenses before where the run defense was really struggling. And the thing that turns it around is adding more of the back to basics walkthroughs of this is exactly how you fit versus this look.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking it back. You can't fret about how you're not running this elegant offense that you thought you were going to run.
Yeah.
You've got to genuinely get back to basics, the fundamental stuff, because sometimes there's just fundamental things that guys aren't getting right that you can only clean up if you really talk about it and walk through it and everything. And I think that's where the Texans are as an offense right now. You really got to get back to the bread and butter, like baseline stuff that you thought you had covered during training camp, but it needs to be reaffirmed.
I think the scary thing in the short term here about these issues, there's two scary things about these issues here. One is more big picture, one is more short term. The short term one is, if they come out and they look the way they did against Green Bay, they still look confused and muddled offensively, and they're not moving the ball, CJ's getting hit, is if you're still not fixed here, you got no time to fix it before the next game, because the next game is on the road on Thursday. You're lucky to get two light practices in this coming week, let alone still continue to try to get your offense moving in the right direction. I think the other thing, and for anybody who's like, "Boy, you guys keep hitting on this all week long," we're not getting much of that lately, but we've gotten some of it this week. Ask yourself, like, what's the one thing that can really torpedo this season, right? Mm-hmm. And think about the mistakes the Texans have made through this 5-2 start that have probably kept games a little closer than they should be. You know, giving up big chunk plays on defense. Well, that doesn't torpedo your season. That happens. You still won those games. Mistakes on special teams. Yeah, that's bad, but that doesn't torpedo your season. Pre-snap penalties. Doesn't torpedo your season. CJ Stroud getting hurt. That torpedoes your season. That kills
you. One.
That kills your season. And this, so this is a different, category of mistake that they're making here. These are mistakes it's costing you games. Like, it could cost you your quarterback if you keep letting teams have free runs at him like this.
Right. And it's old school QB hits. It's the quarterback standing there and then just getting hit by a free rusher.
Yeah.
Like, the stuff that you don't even see that much anymore, because quarterbacks don't get hit that much. CJ's taking some of those hits.
And they're all legal, too. I mean,
all been legal.
Yeah.
They got a clear shot.
Nothing's
dirty.
They've
got plenty of time to get, like, to hit the midsection and nothing else and all of that. Yeah, it's all this ugly stuff. It's like Quinnen Williams hit last year in the Jets game.
Yep.
It was a clean hit. I know there are a lot of Texans fans that were angry about that. That was as clean as could be, and it was all on Juice Scruggs, the left guard, on that play. Yep. That had nothing to do with Quinnen Williams being a dirty player. That was a clean and legal hit. And you just, like, obviously, as it was in the Jets game last year, you can't expose him to too many of those.
Nope.
Texans. And it did. And by the end of the game, too, it was affecting CJ's decision.
Yes, 100%.
He was definitely – he threw that ball to Tank Dell. He could have waited a little bit longer to see – like, John Metchie would have been, like, his last option on that play, but he was coming open if CJ could have pump faked the safety on that play.
Yeah.
But I don't – CJ didn't have the confidence in his offensive line at that point to do it.
No, and not only made a conservative decision, but a poor decision game management-wise. It stopped clock, you know? And so that's noticeable. The Texans have been a pretty good first-half team offensively. They've been a wretched second-half team offensively. Slowik was asked about the halftime adjustments.
We've also emphasized coming out of half. And probably the game we emphasized it the most was New England, and that showed up, right? And we executed well. Defense helped us, gave us a short field. In this last game, we didn't. You know, we came out, and I think the first play, again, they blew us off the ball on a run play, and that's not – like, we adjust scheme pretty consistently as we go through a game. I'd say every game, you know, we react to what they're doing. They react to what we're doing, but it's never – things we haven't seen before, you know. So by and large, we're staying within the game plan. It's more we gotta find a way, and we're working on finding a way to make sure our mentality is right when we come out of the half that we're ready to go.
Yes. That I thought was interesting too, and just I, you know, if that was the only question he answered all press conference long, I would have felt like, boy, he's really putting that on the players there. But he had, like, personally, he had pointed to himself, like, multiple times already by the time he gave that answer. And, like, talked about how they need to tweak and adjust things and that there's things they need to clean up. That sounded simply like these guys are coming out of the locker room and I don't know what they're doing. They're just – did they have too many Uncrustables at halftime? Are they feeling a little bit logy? I don't know. Do we have type 2 diabetes going on here or something? Because these guys are coming out lethargic at the half. I accept that answer at face value, which is, yeah, the offensive line's getting blown off the ball. Like, what the hell are you guys talking about? Are you playing Halo during halftime? Just come out there with a bloodlust.
Yeah.
Can I have a little bit of bloodlust in my life?
I don't know that
please.
You can. I don't know that you can with this offensive line. I just don't know. I don't feel like piling on them again on Friday, but I think the answer right now is I don't think so.
Bloodlust.
Yeah, bloodlust.
You know
lust.
What John Madden used to do with his offensive linemen? Because, they, you know, sometimes they're wired not to have a bloodlust in them. He would put him in a room with a blocking dummy and tell them he wanted it torn apart, and just like let him just get in touch with their more
primal
their
side,
caveman tendencies.
Yeah.
Sometimes they need to be. Sometimes the big fatties need to be exposed to that world. That, you know, they've had it drilled into their heads to be gentle giants by society for so long that they've lost touch with their psychopathic side, and they need to get in touch with that.
It sounds like you might have seen the same tweet I did yesterday about the Uncrustable consumption in the NFL. Did you see
that? Yeah, that it was like an absurd number of Uncrustables that NFL teams go through.
80,000. Yeah.
80,000 a week
during during a season. The most I think they had the team, I think it was Denver, eats the most, the team that ate the most Uncrustables during a given week.
Yeah,
I forget what team it was, but the number was like 715 Uncrustables.
I remember when I went to that, I remember Uncrustables had like a huge, a lot of ad presence at that, at the Blue Jays game that Brandy and I went to few years ago.
Okay.
I was like, is Uncrustables bigger in Canada? Is this, because I can't remember the last time I even saw an Uncrustable.
Do you like them?
I don't know if I've ever had one.
Really?
Which makes me feel like I need to seek one out. Maybe that can be my new, that'll be my TikTok niche, Uncrustables reviews.
Yeah.
How many flavors are there of Uncrustables?
I don't know. I've never eaten them. I don't like peanut butter and jelly. It's weird. I like
really?
Peanut butter. I like white bread. I like jelly. I never liked peanut butter and jelly. Ever since I was a kid, I've never liked peanut butter and jelly. I don't know why.
I never liked my friend's house peanut butter. You know, it's like in your household, you've got your peanut butter and your jelly and your bread.
Yes.
I would go to friends' houses and like a mom would make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I'm like, you stupid whore. What are you trying to shovel into my face? That's what I would say.
At age
That's
six.
The way I would ensure never having to eat that peanut butter and jelly sandwich
or get
again.
Invited over ever again. Yeah.
No wonder your husband's cheating on you. That's what I would say.
6 year
whether
old.
Whether he was or not. Yeah.
You know what the biggest food.
No wonder I always come over here because your husband's got a great stash of nudie mat.
That was a thing, kids, back in the day. Yeah. Usually underneath the master bedroom on the husband's side. The biggest variance of any sort of like sleepover food, like you going over to a friend's house food or you sleep over to a friend's house, scrambled eggs. There's a, like my mom made scrambled eggs a certain way and it was amazing. And the house that I slept over at most often, my buddy Paul that lived across the street.
Yeah.
His mom made scrambled eggs and somehow they were some weird shade of like off. They were like a weird color almost. And I'm like, do I have to eat these? Like these don't even look like. Eggs?
Her name?
It was Mrs. Earhart.
I'm gonna seek her out on Facebook.
She's still alive. Yeah, you can let her know her
still
scrambled
making her
eggs
crappy
sucked.
Eggs. Yeah. I'm gonna insult her eggs on Facebook out of nowhere.
She's old. She might not have all her marbles, but she is on Facebook.
I'm gonna cite you.
You know what? Let's do this. I've held this secret far too long.
Man, Mrs. Farragher Earhart had the best snack closet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Jeff Farragher's snack closet was the best. It was like the Shangri-La of Farragher's parents were the best. They were the ones that like they were when I was in high school. They wanted us. We could drink at their house as long as we weren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
They'd rather have us drinking in their basement than out somewhere else driving around.
That's
and
good
stuff. They were like, yeah. The snack closet was pristine.
Oh
it was
God.
Incredible.
It's like the kid version of the Golden Nugget. Where are you going? Going to vacation at Farragher's house.
I'm gonna go get whiskey and corn pops.
Yeah.
Damn it. Because my mom won't keep sweet cereals or whiskey in the house.
Vodka and Rice Krispie treats. Yes.
Yeah, but what happened to Farragher? Oh, he's chief of staff at a hospital.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the kid must have turned out
just fine.
Must be a total bum. trade deadline stuff. Texan fans, are you up for this trade of one of your wide receivers? We have that for you coming up next. But Seth has an injury report.
Oh, the injury report. Bad news yesterday. Henry Toa after practicing Wednesday and working his way through the concussion protocol, was out on Thursday. Makes it very unlikely that he plays on Sunday, but we'll see. Al Shire and Jimmy Ward were both out. Back at practice, but limited, Robert Woods and Steven Sims. And with the Colts, the big names that you need to either worry about or be intrigued by is that Buckner, the defensive tackle, and Jonathan Taylor, the running back, were both full go. That's your injury report brought to you by Mokarem Injury Lawyers.